What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the MLB edition. The daily fantasy podcast bringing you lineup construction ideas for the MLB DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I am not Sean Cain, but I am filling in as your interim host. My name is Joe Metz, co-founder of Fantasy Forecast. It's been a while since I've been on Lineup Logic. Been pretty busy with work, but Sean's away with the family, doing adult things, so here we are. In the next 25 to 40 minutes, we're going to be previewing the slate to come tomorrow on FanDuel, so the slate for Saturday, July 22nd. We'll be talking matchups, breaking down positions, and what we think. Again, like I said, there are no Vegas lines out because we are recording the night before. But to help me out with the player breakdown, I brought in my co-founder of Fantasy Forecast, Ben Joyce. Ben, how you doing?
What's good?
Awesome, man. Nice. Everything's great. For this edition, it's going to be a bit more condensed than what we usually see with Sean. We'll give two stud pitchers, two pivots we like for tournaments, a couple of stacks we each love, and some one-offs. So let's get down to the player breakdown and who we love.
All right. Let's get to it. Christopher Archer at 10,300 versus Texas. He is the highest priced pitcher on this slate. Three straight outings with at least eight strikeouts, four straight quality starts. They are heavily favored to win, and his last outing versus Texas yielded 30 FanDuel points, coming from seven innings pitched, seven Ks, and four earned runs. So the numbers aren't exactly great when you look at it. You might want to look elsewhere in the top tier pitching category. Chris Archer will be a decent play. He's got a pretty high floor, but I think you can do better for his price. Looking at the Rangers versus right-handed pitching, they aren't very good, but they are also a pretty volatile team. It's hard to guess on what they'll be doing each night. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're bad, but they have a .239 batting average versus righties and a 24% K rate, which is the fifth worst in the major leagues.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Chris Archer, top price pitcher, so obviously he's going to garner some ownership in cash games and likely tournaments as well, but we're kind of putting him in here by default. I don't necessarily agree he's the best option either. I actually like a pitcher that many will see as a little more volatile. I love David Price for 9,600 against Los Angeles. Gets a huge positive park shift going off to L.A., and he's really starting to piece things together after his return from the DL. Over his last five games, he's put together 31, 43, 55, 31, and then 58 FanDuel points. And his last game, he actually shut the Yankees out over eight innings. I believe he had eight strikeouts in that game. Definitely a tough offense to shut down, much tougher than the Angels with that. His July numbers are what really stands out to me. His recent trends have been fantastic. 27% K rate, 244 wOBA allowed, 323 xFIP, and he's allowing under 30% hard contact. Hasn't allowed a single home run either, so he's definitely minimizing the damage. And while the Angels do have Mike Trout back, they do remain a below-average team against Southpaws. WRC plus of 84, 27th-ranked wOBA at 291, and they actually have they're dead last in ISO at 117. So, I mean, he hasn't allowed a home run this month. Angels are dead last in pop. It's going his way. The one caveat with the Angels is that they don't strike out that much, only 19.7%. But with Price kind of rediscovering his strikeout pitches, I really think he flirts with the modest amount of strikeouts. You know, he's under 10,000. This is one of the games where there actually is a Vegas line. It's only 8, which is one of the lower lines of the day. And he gets the park upgrade, like I said. So with his ceiling, he might not have as high of a floor as Chris Archer, but for his ceiling, I mean, you can't really get a better spot here. But I think Ben and I both agree on our favorite pitcher. We have him under a pivot pitcher, but he's a great tournament target. But I also think he's pretty viable in cash. Excuse me. So Ben, what do you think?
Yeah, looking at Rich Hill at 9,200, probably my favorite pitcher on the slate. So I would throw him in the top tier, even though we have him under the pivot category. Has been very hot lately. His last two outings, he's had 18 strikeouts and no walks. 5 straight outings with 37 or more FanDuel points and absolutely crushing it in July with a .95 ERA. The Dodgers playing Atlanta are most likely going to win this game, so you can get the 12 points for the win.
It's actually 10 now on FanDuel.
Okay, well, it's 10. Pardon my mistake. Atlanta has a 27.7 hard contact rate, which is the second lowest in the league, and a weighted RC of 80, which is the second worst as well. So, again, Rich Hill looking very promising, probably who I'll end up rolling with. I like him just as much as Chris Archer, if not more, and he's $1,100 cheaper. So I'm rolling him out there most likely, just because if you know me, you know I like players who are hot and coming off of good games, get that confidence rolling. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you mentioned about players being hot is huge with pitching more than anything, you know.
Correct.
They get on a roll, throw a shutout, they're coming out next game hot, feeling themselves. And Rich Hill, his blister problem also seems to be behind him, which was a big obstacle he had early in this year. Starting to pitch deeper into ballgames, I think he clocks in as my favorite option, too. If you do insist on spending down a little more at pitcher, the options get pretty thin pretty quickly. There are a lot of gas cans on this slate, and we'll get to that with the stacks that we like. But if you are looking below the 9K range, I really don't mind Masahiro Tanaka. His strikeout rate is way up compared to what it was in the beginning of the season. He's still wildly inconsistent, but he's starting to piece together that strikeout rate, like I said, and strikeouts are king in daily fantasy, and we all know that. On the season, his strikeout rate is sitting at 23.6%. It's a little lower than you'd like, but you have to think a lot of that's because of how unproductive he was in the beginning of the season. His 3.73 Sierra indicates that he is performing effectively, though. He is also boasting a career best 14.7% swinging strike rate, so his stuff is there. 50% ground ball rate added on, limiting hard contact, doing a good job. The biggest con with Tanaka is the home runs. I mean, he's been home run prone for the majority of his major league career. He's given up 2 home runs per 9 innings right now. The Mariners don't have a ton of dangerous lefties, but they do have 2 that are more than capable of taking him yard, and Robinson Cano and Kyle Seager. And again, this matchup isn't easy. Seattle does carry a 323 WOBA and 163 ISO against righties, but he does receive a nice park upgrade from Yankee Stadium, especially for these lefties. I know Ben loves lefties in Yankee Stadium because of that short porch.
Oh, yeah.
That definitely won't be the case here. Strikeout above 20%, sitting around 21.2, modest rate. Another thing working for Tanaka is Ariel Miranda, facing him on the other side of the mound. He's not as impressive as people think he is. The Yankees do crush left-handed pitching, so you could definitely see Gary Sanchez heating up, even though he is a reverse splits player. Aaron Judge could take him yard. Brett Gardner, I know he homered last night, so that'd be Thursday. But this is a dangerous offense, and one you really always want behind you pitching, so that only adds to Tanaka's stock. So again, like we said, I mean, Rich Hill's our favorite option. David Price is up there. Chris Archer is going to garner ownership in cash. Top name, you know, top salary, he's going to attract attention. And then Tanaka, if you want to get a little bolder, if you can stomach some risk in tournaments. With that being said, those are the good pitchers. But there are a lot of gas cans on this slate, and we have Coors. So let's get into the batters. We're looking at some stud stacks, favorite cash game stacks, looking at 2 to 4 bats. Ben, who do you got?
The Houston Astros, obviously one of the better hitting teams in baseball, especially against righties. Houston has the league best 132 weighted RC plus, a 365 WOBA, with 214 ISO, and only strike out 17.3% of the time. And obviously on the other side, Chris Tillman is a very subpar pitcher. Houston's probably going to rock this dude. 5.63 Sierra, 14.4% K rate, 11.1% walk rate, and about 2 home runs per 9 innings with 35% hard contact percentage. So to sum all those stats up, he's just bad, and Houston's probably going to crush him. So we'd suggest stacking their 1 through 5, Reddick, McCann, offer some nice value. And then obviously Correa just got hurt, so we got to look elsewhere there. I think Marwin Gonzalez is definitely, I remember earlier in the season the dude was just tearing it up, so he's someone we're looking at. Obviously Altuve, Springer, I mean, up and down this lineup has some great hitters even without Correa, and I think they're just going to destroy Tillman.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that game's in Camden Yards, if I'm not mistaken, too. So that, yeah, it's in Camden Yards too, which I mean that's a Coors Junior. So I mean that's a great spot. Astros should be chalky, a little pricey, but you know, in my opinion, they're my top stack of the day, even above Coors. Speaking of Coors, you can't have a stud stack without talking about the Rockies. They take on Chad, not so cool. I know Sean will appreciate that dad joke.
Funny guy.
Oddly enough, though, Colorado does have the worst weighted RC plus in the league against righties, but they do have a 323 wOBA, 161 ISO. I think a lot of that has to do with their play on the road. Obviously, half the games on the road away from Coors is gonna take a hit on your offense. But Chad Cool is also the definition of mediocre. 19% K rate, 10% walk rate, 32% hard contact, 4.79 Sierra. Again, those are numbers you would probably attack in, I mean, Miller Park, Chase Field, Camden Yards, like we just said. But then you're putting them in Coors. That strikeout rate is going to go down. You get no movement on curveballs, no break on pitches. These Rockies are going to have these pitches served up on a platter. As long as it's not an ace pitching in Coors, you really want exposure. Arenado's red hot. On Wednesday or Thursday, he came off a 3-home-run, 7-RBI game. Charlie Blackman's red hot. Gerardo Parra, out of all people, is also red hot. Cargo's coming around, had a nice game recently. I mean, there's power up and down in this lineup. You know, Mark Reynolds at first, he's in fifth. Trevor Story's in seventh. There's, again, everywhere there's power. And this game's in Coors. Going to want some exposure. When I usually approach a slate, it's typically hard to stack Coors because I do like paying up for pitcher and that security. But getting a one-off is never a bad idea, especially in this situation. Some lefties, you know, Carlos Gonzalez, he's been actually reasonably priced. Charlie Blackman's above 5K now, which is a little alarming. But if you can fit him in, by all means, do it. So Houston and Colorado being the stud stacks, we do have some lower-cost stacks for you if you do wish to pay up for Chris Archer, David Price. So, Ben, I see you like the Twins. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I am a big Twins fan, especially against Jordan Zimmerman for a Grout stack. They're going to be lower price, and versus right-handed pitching, they own a 323 wOBA and 169 ISO. Jordan Zimmerman is not the Jordan Zimmerman that he has been, I think, 2 or 3 years ago when he had that crazy good season. 16.6% K rate, 2 home runs per 9 innings, about a 5 Sierra, and 39% hard contact percentage. So obviously, those numbers aren't great. One specific batter we like in that Twins lineup is Brian Dozier. Even though he doesn't own a high batting average, obviously the guy has pop and can steal a base or two for you. Miguel Sano, double dong potential. Absolutely on fire lately, finally coming around. And then there's value with Max Kepler and Robbie Grossman. Max Kepler and Grossman especially, I like those two for value. And then our other Grout stack, Joe, we're looking at who, Detroit?
Yep, yeah, Detroit. Typically Detroit would actually carry some weight in the stud stack. And I do like Minnesota. Again, I mean, they're not expensive. I think Brian Dozier's sitting like 3-4, 3-5 tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, maybe even less. So attack Jordan Zimmerman all day. Kepler usually hitting in cleanup against a righty, so attack. But if I had to choose the other side of that game, I am all over the Tigers. I expect this game to carry an over-under of at least 10, because Kyle Gibson is fucking trash. I mean, he's just bad. 14% strikeout rate, 10% walk rate, 5.27 Sierra, 38% hard contact rate, 1.7 home runs per nine, and there are way too many righties in this Detroit lineup. Yeah, they lost J.D. Martinez, but that does open up some value plays. You know, you got Jim Aducci, Mikey Matuk, Andrew Romine filling in for him.
Jim Aducci.
Aducci's actually got some stolen base upside, too, so if that's a thing you look for, there's a big plus right there. Detroit as a team leads the league in WRC plus against lefties at 123. Also carry a ridiculous 356 wOBA and a 222 ISO. These cats are good. So give me all the Miggy. Justin Upton's been on fire. Ian Kinsler's been fine out of the leadoff spot. Five at bat opportunity. And I know Ben loves this next guy. Nick Castellanos has been hot. He had a career game the other day. Ben wrote him up in the in his MLB top three. And this man has been hot. Hits anywhere from 2 through 6. I mean, it doesn't matter where he's hitting. He's primed for a huge game. So Detroit definitely looking really nice. So that really rounds out the two ground stacks. We got Minnesota against Jordan Zimmermann. Detroit against Kyle Gibson. Like we said, this is going to be a bit of a condensed version of the podcast without Sean here. So we are foregoing the kind of flyer GPP stack. But again, then you got a lot of other. You got Kansas City against Mike Pelfrey, who we're getting into the lone wolves now. And there's one guy on Kansas City that really sticks out. I know Ben was talking about him earlier.
Yeah, kind of stood out looking through the BVP numbers. Mike Moustakas, 7 for 17 against Mike Pelfrey with 6 RBIs, 2 home runs, and no strikeouts. So obviously if he's not striking out, he sees Mike Pelfrey pretty well. The 7 for 17 suggests that he, again, sees Mike Pelfrey well. And he is slugging 561 against right-handed pitching with an 880 OPS and 283 average. So I don't mind him at all in your lineup. Just someone that kind of stood out to me.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I think you could almost mini-stack the Royals. They're not the sexiest team, but, I mean, Mike Pelfrey, fly ball pitcher, regression coming. I saw some stat watching the Tigers game the other day that said Mike Pelfrey in the first three innings or first two or three innings has like a 2-point-something ERA, but then he gets from third inning on and his ERA jumps to like 7 or 8. His whip is like 2. So if they don't get to him in the first couple of innings, just be patient because they will. Mm. It happens. A couple other one-offs. Jake Lamb, he hasn't had a ton of exposure to Tanner Roark, but his two hits are home runs. Roark's given up a lot of hard contact, pardon my Boston accent, this season. But, I mean, that's a hitter who's somewhat underpriced on FanDuel right now that you can definitely attack. And I'm looking at FanDuel right now, and I just realized Julio Teheran is taking on the Dodgers, and we know how that man struggles against lefties. We also know that there are a lot of lefties in the Dodgers lineup. So going back to game stacking, you can stack Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Grandal from the left side of the plate, Chase Utley. I mean, my God, that team has lefties on lefties, and Teheran is a very volatile and hittable pitcher. So if you want another stack, load up on the Dodgers lefties. So with that being
expensive, but, though, I feel like.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely true. A Dodgers one-off would be great. You know, Corey Seager sitting at 3.9, pretty pricey. I don't mind Cody Bellinger. He's only 3.7. I know Jock Peterson's not sitting too high. Let's see.
What about Forsythe?
Oh, Forsythe, yeah. He's a lefty. Yeah. No, he's a lefty killer.
Yeah. Okay.
Jock Peterson only 3.1. That's not bad. All right, but speaking of FanDuel, why don't we head on over, create a lineup out of what we've talked about. I think we both agree that Rich Hill kind of takes the throne as our favorite. So
put him in your lineup and don't think otherwise.
Yeah, let's lock in Rich Hill. So that gives us about 32.25 per batter, which is actually a very nice number. That can actually give us some pretty nice bats. I'm looking at catcher right now. I know we want some Astros exposure. That's what you talked about, Ben, correct?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm looking. Brian McCann sitting at 2.7 right now. Just homeward tonight. What do you think?
2.7, definitely. If he's under 3K, his batting average is a tad low, but he is facing Chris Tillman, as we talked about. The dude owns a 7.2 ERA. He's looking like a lock to me.
I'm liking it. Evan Gattis also hasn't played a lot lately, so I think we can safely lock him in the starting position too.
I mean, he's hitting behind McCann. Will be hitting behind, you know, Springer, Altuve, Reddick. A lot of RBI opportunities, and he did just go yard in the current game.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, speaking of Josh Reich, he's still sitting at 2.9 right now.
Yeah.
And he's a lefty against Chris Tillman. Do we want to stack those two?
Yeah, I love Reddick.
All right, let's go. So we get Reddick and McCann, and that bumps us up to 33.66 per bat. Let's see, what other stacks do we talk about? We got Colorado. I think the best way to attack the Coors exposure, like I said, because they're so expensive, is to wait till the end to see how much you can actually afford, to see if you can get a quick one-off. I do like Minnesota a lot as well. Brian Dozier's bumped up to 3.8 because he's been hot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what Kepler's sitting at. Max Kepler's only at 2.9 as well. Hitting cleanup against Jordan Zimmermann, I like it. What do you think?
I definitely like it.
All right, let's put Kepler in there for now. So then, see, now we're up to just a shade under 3,500 a bat. So this is starting to look real nice for our bats. If we want to pair Kepler with someone, we can look at Sano at 3.9, Dozier at 3.8. Let's see here. Who else do we look at? Detroit as well is another big stack we like. Castellanos is sitting at 3.2 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Can we please lock him in?
Yeah. Throw Cast in your lineup at third base.
Okay. So lock in Castellanos, guys, please. So let's see.
And if you're not going Cast, spend $200 more and get Moustakas, as we talked about.
Yeah, I mean,
and if you're not gonna go there and you wanna spend up,
I guess Arenado's not terrible.
Arenado's to know, I mean,
yeah, there's.
I would go Sano over Arenado at this point because
price wise,
$5,000 or 48 for Arenado is a little up there.
So we could actually. I mean, I'm looking at this line right now, and I'm thinking we could honestly avoid Coors and get away with it. So for example, I'm locking in Blackman at 5.1. That takes us down from 3,500 a batter to 3,000 a batter, and that's a tough hit.
3,000.
Yeah. Let's fill out the rest of our roster before we look at Coors. Let's look at shortstop because that's a pretty shallow position.
All
right. We have Marwin Gonzalez at 3.5. We talked about who else? What other stacks did we talk about? I mean, if you wanted Eduardo Escobar as someone in a twin stack, he's not the worst option. Shortstop's definitely a position I've punted lately just because of all the injuries. I do really like Marcus Semien as a one-off. Let me look. What are you thinking about shortstop?
Shortstop's tough. Let me go to the category real quick. You know, we were talking about, you know, with Correa, Marvin Gonzalez, even though he hasn't really been doing a whole lot, he's currently on a 3-game hit streak and has a double in two of those 3 games. I think if you can get on base against, you know, in that game against Chris Tillman, which he shouldn't have a problem doing, he's batting 309. I think there's potential there for 15 or more FanDuel points.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, he's definitely a home run upside. I mean, look at who he's hitting behind in that order. So I think we can play. See, we put him in and we still have 35-33 a batter.
Right. And I'm looking a little lower at Zach Cozart, who's been on a tear lately. You look at his last 2 games, he has 7 hits in 10 at bats.
Oh, and he's got. All right, I say we lock Cozart. And look at this matchup. Yeah. Chris O'Grady,
whoever the hell
new to the majors, 5.23 RA, 1.40 whip. Talk about a one-off and lone bat. Let's go Zach Cozart.
Yeah. The guy's often slept on.
Yeah.
And he bats 2 in the Cincinnati lineup right in front of Joey Votto.
And then you got Duvall, Eugenio. Yeah, I like that. Definitely a one-off we didn't talk about. So that leaves us with 3,600 a batter. I'm looking at first base.
First base?
I'm liking Miguel Cabrera a lot. 3,900 against the lefty. Kyle Gibson's got 6.29 ERA and 1.8 whip.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think about Miggy?
I'm not too high on him. I don't think it's a bad play.
Yeah.
I think we can find maybe some better value. If you've read my articles, you know how big I am in recent production, and he really hasn't done a whole lot lately.
Yeah.
He did have 5 straight games without any extra base hits. Doesn't have JD hitting behind him anymore. I don't think he's terrible, but for $3,900, I think you can.
Yeah, okay.
I think you can fit in Mark Reynolds at Coors, same price.
I like that.
And Cody Bellinger, we talked about him.
I mean, hey, Mark Reynolds, 3 extra base hits last 4 games.
Yeah, and I don't want to leave out Justin Smoke because that guy's been on fire lately, too.
Yeah, yeah. Danny Salazar, too, has some gas can potential. Should we lock in Mark Reynolds just for now and see what we can do?
Yeah.
All right, let's go Mark Reynolds. Get us some Coors exposure. Leaves us with 34.50 a bat, one outfield spot remaining, and second base. If we go, let me take a look at outfield. Outfield is obviously always the deepest position.
Yeah, I have one outfielder that I'm looking here, and he kind of sticks out a little bit.
Who we got?
Guy by the name of Adam Jones. If you look at his recent production, 3 straight games with 2 or more hits.
Okay,
2 straight games with home runs. And I'm not counting the game that's going on right now, but he is facing Colin McHugh, who owns a 4.3 ERA.
Geez, that almost a 2.0 whip, too.
Yeah, Adam Jones is a very streaky hitter, and I think he's found a bit of a streak that could definitely continue. 5 RBIs in his last 2 games.
Yeah, I like it.
And if I'm not wrong... Okay, well, he's in this game currently going on right now. He's 0-3, so that's interesting to look at. But anyways, not looking at this game right now, I do like Adam Jones.
Yeah, I like Adam Jones a lot. And that leaves us with a nice 3,400 for a second baseman. You know, we got – the only stack we have right now is Reddick and McCann. So we can definitely switch some things around because I know you guys like stacks. But if we wanted to even upgrade Max Kepler, I'm looking at – Carlos Gonzalez in Coors platoon advantage against a mediocre pitcher is only 3,500.
Mm-hmm.
If we put him and Adam Jones, that leaves us with 2,800 for a second baseman.
28?
Yeah.
Okay.
That leaves us with a lot of options. You know, you got Yon Moncada, the
Starlin Castro.
Starlin Castro's a nice play. Yeah, he has. Let's see. Jed Lowry's not the worst option. Second base is always tough to me, too. I'm looking at these options, and I'm not really, like, that
once you hit below, like, 2,800, it's getting pretty
actually, let me take a look. Low. So we can go – I like Ian Kinsler for 3-5.
Yes, I do like Ian Kinsler a lot,
so actually. If we go Ian Kinsler, we can go down 200 from Kepler.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 game hit streak, 3 doubles in his last 4 games. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. We didn't talk about the we didn't really talk about the Reds, but they're in a good spot. I do like the spot the Reds are in. I'm looking here. Let's see.
Suarez at 31 is not
Suarez bad. Is terrible at 31. I'm looking at shortstop, too, to see if we can spend down a little bit. But there's not a shortstop. It's ugly, man. All right.
What do we got?
I mean, below Kozar, it's not pretty.
I don't – honestly, Seager is a decent play. I love the kid. He's a very good player. But I don't find myself playing him in fantasy a whole lot because you look at his numbers and it's 9, 35, 9, 6, 6, 18, 6, 6. And it's not very – he doesn't really – not a whole lot of RBIs. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Okay. What about this? I just came up with this. We have 2 mini stacks of Houston and Detroit. Then we have 4 one-offs. Not an ideal combination, but I like this lineup. Rich Hill, Brian McCann, Cody Bellinger against Teheran, who struggles against lefties.
Yep.
Kinsler, Castellanos.
Yep.
Cozart, Adam Jones, Josh Reddick, and Max Kepler.
I like it.
I like that. All right, I think we lock it in. Again, I'll read that off one more time. We got Rich Hill, Brian McCann, Cody Bellinger, Ian Kinsler, Nick Castellanos, Cozart, Adam Jones, Max Kepler, Josh Reddick. This is a full-on Coors fade. You can definitely get away with it, so don't be afraid. Again, though, we're not telling you to go out and lock this lineup in everywhere. This is just a framework to work from. Stacks and one-offs we love. The pitcher we like the most. Do with it as you please. Use it by all means. But again, we want to help you become better DFS players, and we do what we can. With that being said, if you guys like this show, if you listen to it, shout out Sean. You know, he stays alive with the reviews, the retweets. The replies, give him all that. Give him 5 stars on iTunes. Retweet his content. Shout him out. Like it on Twitter. You know, and if you're looking for Ben and I, at FanForecast on Twitter, my handle is at JMets34. Ben's is at Joyce_Ben. You know, give us a shout out if you use these plays. If you like them, let us know. We'll keep this coming.
And we're happy to answer any questions you guys have. Either, you know. Send us a mention on to our handle or you know, we'll answer your questions via direct message. So we're always willing to help. So don't be afraid to ask us anything.
Yeah, we're here to help, guys. Good luck. Let's take down some sharks. And, you know, tweet at us with the success. We want to see you win, and we want to see the success. Good luck tonight, guys. Thanks again.